Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. I am very excited about our program today. I have a radio interview with Bonnie Serkin. And Bonnie has a pretty incredible story to tell us today. Bonnie Serkin, along with her husband, Will Emery, founded Landwaves, which I just want her to tell the story. Anyway, it resulted in something known as Wilder, which is Wilder Newport in Newport, Oregon, a sustainable traditional neighborhood development created with in response to a request from the city of Newport and the Oregon Coast Community College campus is there, and it is eco-friendly, it is green, and there are some exciting new things that they are doing and have envisioned. And so today on the phone I have Bonnie Serkin. She is actually traveling. She's in New York. Are you there, Bonnie?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. When I talked to you a little bit earlier this morning, I was fascinated to know that, you know, you're an attorney and your husband is a sailor and he's been in the theater arts as an actor and director, and now you're involved with Wilder. But let's go back to the very beginning. If you could please tell us a little bit about Bonnie Serkin, and then that will lead us into Will and then into kind of this amazing story you have.
Sure, happy to. I'm in New York. I'm kind of back home. I came from Boston, where I was used to small villages. A lot of what's in New England is a village kind of living. Came to Oregon by bicycle. I rode a bicycle across the country, so I saw a lot of the country. And when I got to Oregon, I went to law school, practiced law for about 20 years, mostly real estate-based. And then I met Will, and together we kind of formed a family business to manage and work with the real properties that he owned, most of which were in Newport. And so there's the general background on me.
Right. And I remember that I said, why Newport? Because you all live in Portland. And
that's right.
Why are you so invested in Newport? And you said because Will was a sailor and he spent a lot of time in Newport and loved it.
That's right. And that's the Will part of the story. Will's from Chicago and spent summers in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, also a village. So strong village background for both of us. When he moved to Oregon as a sailor, he had a boat and moored it in Newport and fell for the city. And when some property came up for auction, he bought it. And then he bought a little bit more surplus timber property from Georgia Pacific. This was in the early 90s. And so he went back and forth between Portland and Newport. And that's how Newport became the base. That was the origin of the property in Newport.
So the property that you owned in Newport was essentially sustainable forest, and there was nothing on it, and you all just would go and visit it, but there was nothing built there.
That's right. We actually turned it into a sustainably managed forest. It was just regular Georgia Pacific timberland, and then we retained a timber manager to institute sustainable yield forest practices. So it's all FSC certified timber at this point that can produce FSC certified lumber for building projects.
And maybe just for listeners who don't know what FSC is?
It's the Forestry Stewardship Council certification that says that from the time the seedling was planted till the time a board is created and kilned and taken to a construction site, that sustainable methods have been used. You leave biomass in the forest rather than just cutting down all of the trees and hauling them off. It's for healthy forest land.
Yes, because there's wildlife, birds, there are all kinds of other uses in a forest other than just a tree. I mean, they're
absolutely.
It's yep. Home.
That's it.
So you all own this forest property, and then what happened? The city of Newport came to you?
That's right. The timber property happened to be immediately adjacent to the city of Newport's city limits, and the city had undertaken a study to see whether there were going to be sufficient buildable lands for both residential and commercial uses over the next 20-year cycle. It's something that cities are required to do every 20 years or so. And they concluded that there might not be quite enough land for those purposes. And because our property was adjacent to city limits, they came to us to see if we'd be interested in bringing our land into the urban growth boundary and then into city limits to develop it over time. And we had never thought about doing this. If we had asked for it, we might not have been given permission to do it. But because this came from the city, the whole idea went through every governmental body necessary without any opposition at all. At the same time, the Oregon Coast Community College thought that they could put together a bond measure that would give them funding to build a much-needed campus, because until then they had been spread out among dozens of different buildings in Newport, and they couldn't find any property. So they came to us to see if this property were brought into the city, we might be willing to sell them some for a campus, and that is indeed what happened. We thought at the time that converting our sustainable forest to a community college was just a wonderful use of the land, and so we ended up selling 25 acres to the college for their campus. And that wasn't the end of it, because they needed a road to get from Highway 101 to the campus. So that kind of pulled us into being a developer, because they weren't road builders, and neither were we, but we were in a position where we could undertake it. So we went from being timber owners to building a road. Then we could deal with infrastructure and build the road up to the college.
And that was around 2004. So is the college then was built? Is that's the first thing that happened? So then you and your husband essentially formed a company by the name of Landwaves, and then you built a road so that then the construction of the Oregon Coast Community College could happen.
Exactly. And the city came to us with an idea for a loop road that would take traffic up off of Highway 101 and bring it through where the college was going to be built and then back out to Highway 101 to keep traffic off of the highway. And we really liked that idea. But what we didn't like that the city was showing us was sort of a subdivision with strip shopping centers that was their concept of how the rest of our property should be developed for future commercial and residential use. Because Will and I were so used to villages, we thought if there were going to be homes and commercial endeavors built there, that it should be more of a village style. So it was at that point that we took over the planning ourselves. And that was in about 2005, 2006. And because we had never done this, we assembled a team. And we put together this master plan for what became Wilder and the community college.
So the community college anchors this development known as Wilder Newport, and it's around 250 acres?
It will be at full build-out. Mm-hmm. We brought about 80 acres into city limits and sold 25 of that to the college, leaving the rest of it for our own development. We have allowed a local disc golf group to build a disc golf course on about 25 acres that will eventually be a neighborhood. And we created the first 40 residential lots for homes in the village. The first thing that we did, though, even before any home started, was to build two parks, because Wilder is all about gathering. It's about neighborhood. It's about knowing people there. So we built a playground park with equipment made out of recycled plastic bottles to keep with our ethos of green and sustainable. We built a trail that connects Wilder through the community college to Mike Miller Park, which is a county park back behind the college. And then we built a dog park, which is just another venue for gathering with a fenced area of maybe 3/4 acre for dogs to play. Then we gathered some builders and got them busy building homes.
What I find fascinating, though, is that you obviously had a background in real estate, practicing as an attorney, and your husband loved the land, loved Newport, and you wanted this to be eco-friendly and sustainable and green, and you assembled this team, and then you really envisioned how this was going to look, and very different concept from what the city originally had planned. Because when I looked at your website, which is wildernewport.com, which is, ask any of our listeners to go to that, it's quite wonderful. You essentially, what it says here is that that Wilder offers green features, including a multi-use path, bioswale, pervious pavement, rain gardens, energy-efficient, non-light polluting streetlights. All Wilder homes feature Earth Advantage or other third-party certification. So I'd like us to talk a little bit about what is Wilder, how many homes are there, and address these features that sure. that it offers.
And what's green? When we were first doing the infrastructure, the road, that multi-use path that you mentioned, and that bioswale, that was kind of the first phase of green. It was setting the stage for how the homes would function afterwards. We wanted to avoid putting large pipes in the ground to take storm water off-site. And so we built the bioswale and rain gardens within the streets themselves to capture that rainwater so that it infiltrates without having to go into the city's sewer system.
For those listeners who don't know what bioswale is, would you please explain that?
It's this really sort of natural-looking green thing with maybe some alders growing in it, maybe the odd rhododendron, and it's a strip, maybe 15 feet wide, and it captures the rainfall. So the soils in Wilder are fabulous for this, because they're all sandy below, not so good for some things, but great for stormwater infiltration. So the stormwater just goes straight down into the earth rather than having to go through a sewer system. And so that long strip of green stuff that captures this is a bioswale. And a rain garden is a shorter strip of green stuff with more elaborate plantings that have to survive with a root system that can be very wet or very dry. But it's a little bit more decorative, and it's in the neighborhood, each of the neighborhoods themselves.
It sounds like your ethic about this came from living in these villages, for you on the East Coast, and then for Will living in, as he did also in a village. And so you wanted it to be about community. You wanted it to be about green. But, a lot of people think, oh, if I'm going to be building a green, eco-friendly, green building, it's going to cost more money. And I know that's something that we want to talk about in the second half of the program. Before we do that, I'm going to do a little station ID here in a second. And what is Earth Advantage?
Earth Advantage is an independent third-party organization that inspects homes to make sure that they are built to higher standards than code, to make them energy efficient, to use products that are earth friendly, and a really big thing that people miss a lot of, have clean air in them. Clean air inside your home is so important to health. And so those are the things that they inspect for. And all of the houses that have been built in Wilder so far have been inspected by this third-party organization to make sure that they're being built to this high standard.
How do you ensure clean air in a home?
Well, you start with the products that go into the home, and the first thing you try to do is eliminate formaldehyde, and you do that by making sure that the plywood that's used in the home, that the whatever's used in the kitchen counters, the cabinets, things that you don't even think about, are clean when they go in there. Then you make sure that the air is changing regularly to keep the beautiful coast air that's outside coming in and flowing through. And that is the largest part of it. You can look at carpeting and use materials that produce clean air rather than air pollutants. I mean, you can smell the difference. That great new car smell isn't an accident, but it may also not be the best air quality.
Yes, exactly.
So it's things like that. It's careful
right.
choice of products.
Right. Perfect. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today my guest is Bonnie Serkind. She and her husband, Will Emery, have developed and are in the process of developing a sustainable traditional neighborhood development in Newport, Oregon. We've just been talking about how the homes there feature Earth Advantage. this was an unlikely thing that you all would become developers. And I have such respect for the fact that you said, you know, we want to do this sustainably. But again, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of people think, oh, if I'm going to build something, green is going to cost a lot more. Could you address that?
I think of it as kind of the way it must have been when builders started using indoor plumbing and electricity and wiring homes for that, you know, generations ago. At the beginning, it seemed very innovative, risky, expensive, but after a while, it became normal, and people found it actually didn't cost very much more, maybe a little bit more, and I think that that's what we're going to start seeing in green building. It's in the planning stage that it's important. If you start early enough, you can prepare, you can buy things in quantity, you can plan and create green environments that don't really cost very much more, if any more. For building at the coast, the biggest expense isn't going green, it's building strong. And any home that's built at the coast needs to be able to withstand winds and rain that you don't get in the Willamette Valley. So once you're building to that standard to start with, the little bit more that you need to do with your maybe indoor materials adds a small bit to the cost. But again, what are you saving over time? I think people are going to start analyzing their home costs a little bit differently, not just the purchase price, but the operating costs, including power, so you'd want to put in extra insulation, including water, so you'd want low water usage features, and clean air, health. Your health bills go down if you're breathing clean air, and so you try to keep the formaldehyde out of that, even if it costs a little bit more at the beginning. The codes have changed so much over the last few years that the codes have come way up to require a lot of these things anyway, and I think we'll continue to see that. So I would hate for people to be scared off about buying a green home because the first thing they're thinking of is it's going to cost more. And I'd love to see developers think about doing green development projects, especially with those site improvements that can be done with the bioswales and rain gardens that are really quite easy to do. Just give it a little bit of thought in advance. And that's happening in Portland, and you know, sometimes things start there and then spread. So that's true.
And then you said that you wanted to also think about affordability. Would you talk a little bit about the prices of the homes in Wilder? And I know you said it's open to the public. I mean, if people want to go and look at Wilder, they certainly can.
Absolutely. We are not a gated community. We're very much part of the city of Newport. And I like to think of Wilder as really just another nice neighborhood where houses have front porches. There are all these walking trails, so people get out and walk around. We just hosted a bicycle race a couple weeks ago, so you can come and ride your bikes in our woods. But just drive up the hill in Newport, and you'll see front porches. You'll see people wandering around. And it's in the South Beach area, which to me is the future of Newport. It's where all the maritime industry is headed, where NOAA just opened its new facility, Hatfield Marine Science Center's Marine Mammal Institute is expanding. And to me, the whole of South Beach could easily become an eco-district with Wilder as part of that underpinning. But, yeah, you can walk from Wilder to pretty much anywhere on the south side of the bridge in Newport.
And how many homes are already built right now?
There are 10 that are built. Two that just got completed a couple of weeks ago and are available, and two more that are under construction. The first 8 are all lived in already. One of the homes has an accessory dwelling unit, a granny flat, so that there can be intergenerational living or a rental possibility.
Oh, that's a great idea. And you also mentioned, so Wilder is in the process of being developed, and you actually have, and the other thing I thought was kind of interesting, on the website it talked about that there's a Salem-based company called IdeaBox, and they have this little compact, eco-friendly, they have these little prefabricated living solutions, and so that's your sales office. You've developed...
It's our sales office. Yes, it wasn't intended to be a living solution. While it was intended to be a really cute green sales office, and it's a wonderful little addition. But I do want to talk about prices in Wilder because I'm so proud of what the builders have done. when we started this planning back in 2004, 2005, 2006, the economy was going gangbusters. Remember what was happening to home prices on the coast. And most of those homes were being bought for second homes, which priced people who actually live and work in coastal communities out of the market completely. So our goal was to provide homes that the workforce could afford. We asked our builders to aim for a $200,000 price point, which is difficult. It's difficult to build any home at that price point.
Especially a green home with all the materials that are, you know, you would think would be more expensive.
Exactly. But they've really responded. And there is one home for sale. It's what we call a flex home. And it's kind of a duplex, but it can live in different ways. You could have a home office, whatever. And the last price I saw on it was about $179,000. There are homes that are listed for about $230,000. $225,000, I think, actually. $225,000. Someone's building a custom home there now. And the biggest home in Wilder is just over 2,000 square feet. And the prices can get into the mid-300,000s, which is still, to me, really holding the line on home prices in Newport. But we're trying very hard to come in as close to $200,000 on as many homes as possible.
Well, the thing that's incredible is that you have the Oregon Coast Community College as the anchor for this development, and it is, and you still are surrounded. You still own the 1,500 acres of forest land around Wilder, correct?
We do, and we invite people to come and walk it or ride it on their bicycles.
Yep. We just have to build differently in the future. We have to think differently, and that's what you and your husband have done. And why don't we actually talk to you a little bit about, so if you're interested in Wilder and Newport, you can go to the Wilder, W-I-L-D-E-R, Newport.com and read about the things that they've been doing. And also, let's talk for a moment about the CYRK building in Southeast Portland, because
sure.
I don't know where that came in. Was that before Wilder or after Wilder, or when did that happen?
It started construction after Wilder, but the construction ended up being simultaneous with what was going on in Wilder. One more thing, let me just say about Wilder. We are the master developers. We did all the infrastructure, the planning, the visioning, but we're not actually building, so we don't have so much control over design and pricing. With Cirque Building in Portland, that is a live work that we did ourselves as the developer, and retained an architect and a general contractor to do the building. It extends our commitment to green building, which is just really consistent with the way that we live. And it just received a LEED Platinum certification yesterday. We're all celebrating today.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's a beautiful building. It's also received one design award so far. But it used all reclaimed ironwood from, it was remilled for us in California and brought to the site. It has two wells on it. One of the wells brings water up from the ground at about 60 degrees, and then the water circulates through the building and goes back down into the ground, back into the aquifer from the other well, and that's the basis of our heat source for the building.
That's fabulous. I know you all live in the Cirque building, and it's in Southeast Portland.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's great. It's a wonderful, walkable neighborhood. It's a very short commute by elevator to the office, about 30 seconds. And we've got this whole array of solar panels on the roof, solar hot water on the roof. And the last time I checked the electric bill, we were producing all of the power on site that we needed.
Right.
We weren't even drawing from the grid.
We only have a few minutes left. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I want to address the fact that you also have made a commitment to the community of Newport, not only in the green building of, designing this to be, to live lightly on the land and to really honor the values of community, but you made a major donation to the Pacific Maritime and Heritage Center, which is a brand new museum, an interactive center that incorporates the wharf, the working wharf in Newport, the educational programs and local maritime uses. And that's a brand new thing. And why did you and your husband, you are major donors to this, and this was something that you really care about. It's something that's very important to you.
We we do like to support lots of things within the city of Newport, and this Maritime Museum was particularly important to Will because he is a sailor. When we were sailing on the East Coast a few years ago, in pretty much every port that we pulled into, there was a maritime museum, and we just felt very strongly, Will particularly, that Newport, with its strong maritime heritage that's going to continue into the future, deserved to have this kind of maritime museum of its own.
And when is it opening? Is it?
I think June is when the grand opening is. I think they're starting to do opening parties, celebrations, and tours even now.
Oh, that's marvelous. Well, that's wonderful that you supported that. So in the last couple of minutes we have left, please tell the listening audience anything that you think is important that you'd like for them to know, because I think we all have to re-envision and rethink how we live and with, you know, in harmony with the earth and have our living environment be healthy. So anything that you'd like to let people know about?
I think of the people who first moved to Wilder as pioneers, and yet very low-risk pioneers, because what they're going back to is a proven old way of living, the front porches, the walkability, the knowing your neighbors, the living to be gentle on the earth is really, it's important. But you know, there are only 8 to 10 families there now, and I think they were wonderful to see our vision and to see that it was their vision as well. And I would invite other people to join in this vision, because it doesn't take very much work. All you have to do is drop stuff in the recycle box once a week, and that's basically it. And then you live your life the way you always did, except all you have to do is turn on a little gas fireplace to heat the whole bottom of your house and not worry about spending huge money on your power bills because the house is so well insulated. So it takes a little bit of courage, a little bit of foresight, maybe a little bit of reading or learning to realize that it's not that different, and it's not that difficult, and join with us in where we think the future of building is going.
Well, I think it's great that you're passionate about it. You've said that your daughter is going to continue. She is the future of Wilder. Wilder will continue to be building out over the years, and it's great that this is going to be a family thing, and that this vision will continue. And I honor you all for the courage to just say, oh, we're just going to plunge in and learn all this, and you did it. So congratulations. I look forward to seeing Wilder on my next visit to Newport, which is actually coming up pretty soon. So I'm going to head over and walk around there myself. And thank you so much, Bonnie. And if you're interested, listening audience, to know more about Wilder Newport, it's wildernewport.com. And thanks again, Bonnie. I sure appreciate having this interview with you today. Enjoy New York.
My pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much, Donna.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to thank Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life. Focus on those good things. That'll expand them. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, the only moment which exists, on the amazing planet we call Earth.